The New Jersey Institute for Social Justice recently presented a panel discussion in NJPAC on the role of slavery in America and in New Jersey. WBGO's Britt Harley was there.
I'm here tonight to talk to you all about the 1619 Project and really about this effort to force this country to a reckoning.
That's Nicole Hannah-Jones, an award-winning investigative reporter who covers civil rights and racial injustice for the New York Times Magazine.
What I consider, and anyone I hope who fully engages with the project considers, one of the most pivotal and central features of American life, and clearly a legacy that we are all still grappling with.
This year marks the 400th year of Black people being brought to Virginia as slaves. The 1619 Project with the New York Times takes a raw look at America's relationship with slavery and the impact that remains in present day.
If I were to mark our true founding, I would mark our true founding at that moment in 1619, when this ship called the White Lion pulls up into Port Comfort, Virginia, and those first group of 20 to 30 human beings are purchased for supplies. Because it is at that actual moment, really 150 years before we even decide to become a country, that the foundation begins to be set. And this is the foundations of our political systems, of our cultural systems, of our social systems, certainly our criminal systems and our legal systems, really begun to be set at that moment. Not at the moment the English landed Jamestown, and not at the moment that the colonists decide that they want to break off, but it is at the moment when we decide that we are going to engage in the practice of buying and selling of human beings.
Before the show, WBGO caught up with Marley Diaz, author of Marley Diaz Gets It Done and You Can Too, and founder of 1000 Black Girl Books Campaign, to get the youth perspective of why dialogue about slavery is so important in today's society.
I think one of the reasons why the enslavement story is still really relevant today is that we kids my age, and including myself, are still not getting accurate information on what has actually happened and are not able to see the effects of enslavement on life today. So we talk a lot about police brutality, and mass incarceration is one of the huge issues that is happening in the 2010s, and hopefully not in the 2020s, to Black people and specifically Black men. But then kids my age are not able to see that there is a connection to what happened with enslavement, you know, centuries ago. And the reason why this dialogue is important, and hopefully we can do it in schools and bring, you know, really high-powered academics like this and their lessons to everyday classrooms, is because we don't have this information, and there isn't a way for the everyday person to know that all the things that have happened in American history, especially surrounding people of color and the way that in which they've built this country, affects the way the country acts today.
Nicole Hannah-Jones's presentation was followed by a panel of esteemed experts who focused the conversation on New Jersey, which advocates believe have some of the worst racial disparities in America. One of the experts on the panel was Ryan P. Haygood, president and CEO of the New Jersey Institute for Social Justice, where he made the connections between the impact of slavery and how it currently looks in New Jersey.
New Jersey budget invests $100 million every year to support those ensnared in the opioid crisis around prevention, diversion, and rehabilitation. New Jersey spends $300,000 to incarcerate each kid each year. In New Jersey right now, a state of 9 million people, there are 8 white kids in prison. The rest are Black and Latino. We make very deep investments in incarcerating Black kids and deep investments in ensuring that white kids flourish. That's the reality. That's the math.
Professor Elsie Boddy of the Inclusion Project at Rutgers Law School spoke to us after the show about the role of public universities like Rutgers in addressing the persistent structural racism in public education.
How do we use the resources of a large public university to be a voice for people, but also to be a conduit for people to engage in these questions? So it's not that we don't pretend that we have all the answers or maybe even any of the answers, but to create opportunities for people within the university to work with people in Newark, to kind of hear from people in Newark about what they want and what they're interested in. I've done some of that work, and it's transformative, because when you hear from people who are the most directly affected, it changes your perception of the, you know, the kinds of solutions that you might be pursuing. So there's a huge role to play for public universities in this moment, I think, particularly given what's happening on the national stage, the fact that we have just this sort of assault on truth, and where you have public universities who are bringing facts and research and knowledge to bear, but knowledge that is informed by the communities that surround our universities. We're just all the better for it.
Nicole Hannah-Jones says that Black people are not the problem, and there is an unlearning that must take place as we confront America's past. For the WBGO Journal, I'm Britt Harley in Newark.